Hello. So I am back with another podcast. I'm recording two in a row. I recognize that I have a lot to get off my chest, so I'm just going to dive into this. This is part of my spiritual journey. I gotten deep into the Course in Miracles, and I gotten deep into 12 steps, and I'm bringing it into my life full force. And I wanted to share about the why. Like, why is she doing 12 step? Is she an alcoholic? Is she an addict? What's going on there? So I'm going to share a little bit about that, break it down, break down some of the steps and why and the magic of how it works, how you can bring some of that into your life. And I'm going to tune in into a third step with you today. So first of all, how did I get into 12 steps? Why the 12 steps? No, I'm not an alcoholic. I used to drink and party when I was younger. Never got addicted to it. Never got really addicted to another substance. There was like a year when I was smoking a lot of pot, but it was not the addiction to the pot itself. It was the addiction to my self-fixing and self-healing because there was a lot of repressed guilt going on. That now I did always wanted to do the 12 steps. And I was like, dang it, I'm not an addict. What do I do? What do I do? And then I went through a really, really tough breakup when I found myself powerless over this addiction to the pursuit, this addiction over trying to prove that I can make this relationship work, that I can do it, that I should be able to fix myself enough to make it work, and blah, 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 blah. So that was what some people call the love addiction, and there's SLAA that is focused on that, sex and love addicts. I also recognize parts of my own codependence, addiction to codependence, which literally suicided my business. That's another episode, like trying to save everybody, trying to be there for everybody. An intense guilt when I couldn't meet projected client expectations. It wasn't even their expectations, but expectations that I was putting on myself, and a lot of repressed guilt that was there too. So, in other words, a lot of repressed guilt that was running my life. Coincidentally, lesson 39 for today in the Course in Miracles, it starts with something like guilt is your hell. So that's been a big theme of recovering from unconscious guilt in my life and realizing my innocence. So how the 12 steps came into my life is that I finally recognize I'm doing with this breakup. I'm in Florida. I don't know what to do. I don't know where am I gonna go. Like, this relationship isn't working out, and I'm powerless over like my tendency to try to fix it and make it work. But I cannot fix it or make it work spiritually from the same space that I'm in right now, and I know I need help. So I ended up getting a sponsor the very same day, going through the 12 steps in 12 days and going deeper ever since. I want to share some of my journey with it and some of the highlights. Also, I should mention, and this is really, really important, I would have never gotten into it if it wasn't for muscle testing calibrations of frequencies of different spiritual teachers and teachings. That was done by Dr. David R. Hawkins in Power versus Force and Truth versus Falsehood. For those of you who are have studied him, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you new to his teachings, I really recommend downloading online the Map of Consciousness. You can Google it, Map of Consciousness, Dr. David R. Hawkins. I'm also going to put it in recommendations and resources in the links below this podcast so that you have the link there. But it's straight on Google too. And when he did muscle testing research into these different teachings, he found that the 12-step programs actually calibrated really high, and they were really, really close to the truth with capital T. They calibrated at the level of unconditional love at 540, and the Course in Miracles, which I'm studying also, was at 600. And there are so many different teachings in the world out there, and I have been like immersed in the coaching industry, or was, I'm not right now, but so deeply in that. And there's so much information, and there's so many levels of consciousness, and so many different approaches. And I myself want to align with the truest truth possible that is digestible to me and that is practical. And the 12 steps is really, really practical. So, and I myself believe that everybody is addicted to something. At least we're all addicted to the ego and to our thinking. So this is what I discovered. When I went deeper into it, it was like, wow, this stuff is really genius, guys. Like, it is a design for living. And it's like the deeper I go into it, and I'm like, holy, holy, holy cow. It's genius. And like working the steps deepens you on so many levels. And it puts like a divine masculine structure around my life. It's incredibly genius. So I want to break this down. The steps 1, 2, and 3 are basically having you realize I'm not the ego. I've been trying to fix myself. I've been trying to help myself. I've been doing self-help and therapy and this and that and trying to manage my life. But there are certain things that I am powerless over because the ego is powerless over itself. So I, as long as I identify as the ego, cannot fix my issues. So the step 1 is I'm powerless over this. Step 2, there is higher power. One has to rebuild that relationship. God of our own understanding. It's like God that is loving, not the God that, you know, a lot of people have religious trauma, so on and so forth. The God that is punitive, like we do away with that and define God of our own understanding that is loving, that is supportive, that wants our joy, that wants our happiness, that wants our abundance. And create and have a relationship with the higher power. And step 3, actually begin to surrender our life over to higher power, to God of our own understanding. And that's where it gets really, really interesting and really, really cool, because it forced me to begin to expand beyond the frequencies that I was very much used to operating in, which was the frequencies of my ego, of my thinking mind, of my working mind, my planning, my managing, my controlling, my trying to rearrange the ballet according to how I want my life to go. And that, it says somewhere in a book that rarely ever works out. Like me trying to figure out my life rarely ever works out. It's always a disaster because I don't know what's best for me. My higher power knows, it has the perspective, but the level of consciousness at which I operate, I do not have the perspective what's actually good for me. I don't actually understand because I have all these parts of my ego that are jumping in, trying to manage those, trying to run the show, like all these managing parts. And all they're trying to do really is protect me from my wounding so they don't happen again. So my life is really ineffective because my mind is consisting of a layer of parts that are trying to make sure that my physicality survives. Yeah. So turning over our life to God, to me, is two things: to be very, very, very present as much as possible, letting go of my fear of judgment, letting go of my insecurity, my fear of financial security, things like that, my control, and really be in a state of prayer. Please, God, show me right now as I'm recording this podcast. I'm not looking at any notes. I'm literally asking God, please show me. Please give me the thoughts. Please give me the words. Show me what my higher power would have me share with my audience. What would be interesting to them? And learning to live my life like that. Show me the action to take, the next right action. How do I show up now in service to others? How do I show up that is not coming from the selfishness? In other words, from our ego. Our ego is self-centered. It's selfish. It's narcissistic. It thinks it knows. That's the definition of every ego. It's like it's all the same for all of us. Even when we evolve and we have a very rational and very brilliant mind, it's still all about us. It's still all about our own survival. So this is me praying. It's just, you know, my nervousness is coming through right now. I'm like feeling it like, oh my goodness, are you really talking about this, Eva? But, you know, it's like this is so brilliant. So it's like learning to live in the third step is so powerful because I'm actually forcing myself to be present. And what does it mean to be present? It means to surrender my self-will. The self-will run riot and surrender all that and expand and be like, higher power, my higher self, whatever you want to call it, God of my own understanding, have your way with me, act through me, show me, give me the thoughts, give me the energy from which you would want me to act. What is the energy? It's going to feel better. It's going to feel loving. It's going to feel expansive. It's going to feel more confident. It's going to be joyous. It's going to be light. It's going to be loving. It's going to be playful. It's going to be responsible at times. It's going to be reliable at times. It's going to be, tolerant. It's going to be compassionate. It's going to be understanding. It's going to be forgiving. So those are the places that I want to operate my life from, because it says somewhere in the big book also, spiritual life is not a theory. We have to live it. And the ways where I was stuck in the past is like, I had a lot of deep understanding of the ego. I could analyze myself all day long, but how was I living? Was I serving? Was I showing up? Was I present? Was I living in my intuition? Was I living my life as a prayer? Was I present with Lexi for my intuitive self? No, I was not. And still I am not all the time. Sometimes I'm not, because I'm learning. I'm learning, I'm surrendering one bondage of the self, one bond, one chain, one jail cell at the time that bonds me to the ego. I'm surrendering every day my attractions and my aversions to the lower self. And that brings me to steps 4 and 7. That's where it's done. Like, that's when they have you do inventory, our moral inventory. And people are like, what does that mean? Now, this is the healing. This is the genius. This is why, the coaching industry takes bits and pieces of it, and we do healing with clients, and we do part work, and we do this, and we do that, and we do therapy, but we don't have the full picture. This is why it's so genius, because it actually brings all the modalities together that are important, and then you go deeper, that you use the modalities that you already know. Like, you do the part work, you do the deep healing, you really, really, really go there. You get in there with the fourth step, which is the personal inventory. You go in there and you look at every fear, you look at every resentment that you have, and you look underneath. What's the source of it? Where is it coming from? It's usually some form of self-esteem, some form of insecurity. Something in there. It's like, worry about money, worry about security, worry about self-esteem, worry about relationship. For a lot of people, it's worry about sex. And then we look at, what is my coping mechanism? So what are all the parts that are running the show? And in step 7, we ask God to remove these energies. We do letting go. We sometimes have to integrate those parts. We use God's guidance, because we have that relationship with our higher power at that point. Like, we journal it out, put pen to paper, and do it. And through two-way prayer, which I was talking about on the last podcast, that's how I do my step 4. I will get in there and I will do what my higher power is calling me to do. Sometimes I just ask my higher power to take away that energy. Sometimes I have to integrate an inner child that is wounded. Sometimes I have to sit with her and give her compassion. It's different every time. But it always is those two parts that I talked about in the last podcast. One is asking divinity to take me to those quote-unquote defects of character, to those frequencies that no longer serve me, and heal them, and then shift myself into higher frequency. And when I say shift myself, I don't actually do it myself. I invite divinity to show me how God wants me to operate, how God wants me to be or respond in that situation. Okay. So that's steps 4 through 7, really, really, really powerful. And then we get into step 8 and 9, and that, to my current limited understanding, is cleaning up our past karma, cleaning up the wreckage of the past. Because a lot of the time when we're depressed, when we're apathy, we don't want to get out there and like rebuild that business or whatever it is, or start that next relationship, because there's something that has not been cleaned up about the past. And the nervous system is shut down, it's frozen, or it doesn't want to move, or just like, we don't want to put ourselves out there. And this is where making amends is so powerful. This is the part that I fear the most, And it's like when I work with sponsees, it takes a little bit to break through that wall and a lot of prayer to dissolve the unwillingness. And when they get it, it's incredibly empowering because now we make some of these amends. We no longer have to fear the past. No, we cannot fix everything. Some people we just don't reach out to because we would hurt them. It would hurt us. Sometimes we just make living amends. We just change our behavior. Sometimes we just write a letter and put it in a God box, whatever it is. It just is so incredibly helpful to release that guilt that we still carry. And then steps 10, 11, and 12, you know, having improving conscious contact with God, you know, doing daily inventory, looking at our day. This is like my step 10 is my favorite step of all steps. And what step 10 does, it instructs us to do daily inventory each night and look at our day. And I do it in a form of prayer. And I'm going to do a breakdown on step 10 too. But it's literally having a God to walk me through my day and show me the illusions that were still running the show, the parts that were active, that no longer serve me, that need to be integrated or not need to disentangle from, or that I need to, you know, if there's attachments or versions that are still running the show, where was I still not present? How can I shift and change this? And like that prayer, I always do it in exchange with another person. It's been really powerful to do that. It's magic. And it's like every day I shift something. Every day I wake up to something. Every day I deepen just a little bit, just one little thing that deepens my consciousness. Or maybe it's something I forgive. Maybe it's a resentment that I give up. Maybe it's a fear that I give up, fear that I disentangle. It's like a little tiny bit every day. And it's like, you know, you shift 100 times like that. You do that 100 days in a row. Life's never going to be the same, yeah? So anyway, so what did I want to do in this podcast? I think this is about what I wanted to talk about. I wanted to talk more about the third step. Let's see if there's anything comes through about that. So the surrendering life to God. So this is literally like, this is on my vision board. Living life as a prayer. If anything, if you take anything from this podcast, it would be that really it's about handing our will of the small ass self to the big ass self. And it's by prayer and it's by intention. And so the third step, prayer, and you can Google it, you can look it up, you can say it if you feel called every morning, but like, or you can journal it out and go deeper into it every morning. God, I offer myself to thee to do with me as thou wilt. Old English, I wasn't a fan of it, whatever, I never went to church, I'm not a church person. But I look at it deeper. What does it mean to surrender my life to thee? I offer myself to thee. What does that mean? That means that I offer my thinking. I offer my limitation instead. Like I offer that space. I admit that I don't know that my mind is limited. I offer that space to thee. I offer it to a higher energy to come through and show me and give me the correct vision, the correct energy, the correct thinking. I offer my actions to thee. What should I be doing now? Should I be, you know, whatever? Should I be making a shopping list or should I be recording a podcast? What do I feel called to do now? And in a sense, it's merging me with my soul whenever the ego wants to run the show. It's merging me with like pure intuition, pure creativity, pure flow, pure presence. That's the best way that I can describe it. Of course, like this is my limited understanding. I'm not at the level of unconditional love, not even close. I'm nowhere near any kind of enlightenment, whatever you have. But this is my current understanding. If it fits, go with it. I only hope to be of service here. So yeah, if it resonates, run with it. So I'm going to put some links in the chat, a link in the comments below, some recommendations. I'm going to put a link to the Map of Consciousness. And I'm also going to list a couple of Hawkins books, The Letting Go and The Power Versus Force, if you guys want to know the different calibrations or different teachers. I'm also going to put a link to Coda and Sla list of meetings if anybody feels called to do that and just to show up to a meeting and get a sponsor. So I'm going to put a list of an organization that I participate in. They're called Spiritual Gangsters. It's like a network, online network of these meetings, and you can come and participate. And I'm also going to post two ways that you can support me if you feel called. This is a self-supporting podcast. You can send me a small donation through PayPal and Venmo if you feel called, or you can consider becoming a one-on-one client, especially if you're a business owner who wants to align with, you know, living in presence, being of service, aligning the will of with the will of God. Those are the kinds of people that I absolutely love working with, helping them with their business and aligning their decisions with truth. So thank you for allowing this shameless plug, if you will, and asking for your support. But either way, you don't have to, no pressure whatsoever, ever, to do anything, support me in any way at all. I am happy that I can be of service to you. Thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. And I'll see you on the next episode. Thank you so much.